cleansed, sanctified, and useful. We're going to see all three of these words when we go to what Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy that we'll be looking at through the most of the lesson this morning. Cleansed, we understand, is the idea of making pure when we read about it in the Scriptures. And just like it is that you would not want to drink something from a dirty cup or eat something off of a dirty plate, you would cleanse it first. That's the same way it is in our service to God. We're to be cleansed first. Sanctified has the idea of purity that is set apart. And so you set something apart for specific use. Those things that you have in your home that are vessels or things that are useful for specific purposes. They are set apart for those things. That's why men do not like it when our wives use our best set of tools to do something that they're not used for around the house. That's why it's also our wives don't like it when we use one of their butter knives as a screwdriver to fix the lawnmower. That's not what it's used for. That's not the purpose of it. It wasn't sanctified or set apart for that. And all these have the idea of usefulness attached to them. And so what we'll be talking about is being vessels of nobility. I appreciate so much the reading for us from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. There's only a couple of things I want to mention from that. Paul had to defend his apostleship. And when Paul was defending his apostleship, he was referring to the fact that it's not we that we are preaching. We are preaching Christ instead. And that Christ is this thing that removes the veil. That if someone can't read the Old Testament and not have an understanding that it pointed to the Christ, that veil is still there. But Christ is the light to show that is the means by which man can be saved. And that message, that ministry, is what Paul said he had devoted himself to. Now, Paul also said that we have this ministry, we have this gift, we have this special thing, we have this very special message in earthen vessels. In other words, Paul says that this flesh that we dwell in is what God has put this message within. Therefore, that earthen vessel, though it may be made just like any other vessel in many ways, becomes a lot different. And so when Paul refers to these things to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and if you want to turn over there, 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to be looking at verses 20 through 22 of 2 Timothy 2, and we'll be looking at that context throughout the lesson. Paul tells him that in a great house there are vessels for honor and dishonor. So you were set apart, you were sanctified for a specific purpose. Paul said he understood that about himself. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be useful or be a vessel for honor or for nobility, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. And so Paul tells Timothy to flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. So Paul also tells Timothy that it's not just Paul himself, who is this vessel that these things have been put into to be useful for the master, but Timothy is that way as well. And in a great house, there are many such vessels. But it's also true that within the Lord's church, the Lord's house, there are also vessels for dishonor. I was very tempted this morning to bring my coffee cup as an illustration. And the reason being, and those of you who giggle probably know exactly what I mean by that, my coffee cup only gets washed about once a week. Yeah, that's gross, right? But I'm the only one that drinks out of it. And the thing about it is that you can tell how much coffee my Keurig makes because at the end of the week, there is a very distinct ring around the inside of that cup on where the coffee reaches. But it's my coffee cup. It's set apart as my coffee cup. And I use that in a very common way. Now, if you come to my house, I'm not going to use that coffee cup and give it to you. Right? Because that would be a dishonorable thing to do. We as members of the Lord's house are not to be like that dirty coffee cup that's just used every day and stained up and means nothing. It could be tossed aside. You could drop it and it could crack. It could be easily replaced. That's not the way we're supposed to be. We are vessels of honor, vessels of nobility. We are vessels that have been set apart for the king's use, not the ordinary person's use. It's the one that is used for people who are in positions of honor, who are to be respected. That is the kind of vessel that we're supposed to be. And that's what Paul tells Timothy about. That's why in Isaiah 64, it talks about how it is that God is the potter, we are the clay, and we were made for a very specific purpose. So when you use this in the context of Philippians 4 and verse 8, to think upon and dwell upon those things that are noble, what is the connection? If you remember there in Philippians 4 and verse 8, and we've went over this context many times, go back to the two sisters that are at odds with one another. And the way that Paul tells them that they are to be of one mind, to come back to unity with one another, is by reminding them, your names are written in the book of life. You weren't set apart, you weren't sanctified, you weren't cleansed, you weren't made useful for the Master so that you could be at odds with one another, but that so that you could be in harmony with one another. Think upon those things that are noble. That will alleviate those types of problems. He tells them to not be worrying, to be anxious for these other things in life. Why? Because the God of peace will guard, He will stand guard over your hearts and minds. But also, this God of peace and that peace of God that He gives will be with you. And so we are reminded over and over again that because of who we are, we should always be dwelling upon those things which are noble. What have you been set aside for? What is your purpose that you've been set aside for? Paul has reminded Timothy of this as well. And I believe the reason is one that it nags at my heart whenever I read Paul's words to Timothy in 2 Timothy. The reason being is because his first letter is one where Paul tells Timothy so many times about standing firm and standing for the faith. His second letter really takes a completely different tenor to it, in that it's almost like he's telling Timothy, and he does specifically tell Timothy, don't be ashamed of me, and don't be ashamed of the word. I know I am a prisoner because of these things, but I'm not ashamed of that. I know why I'm a prisoner. You, Timothy, are to continue the fight and to continue the struggle. And it's easy to understand how a person might lose perspective, a young preacher such as Timothy, who's really only young in relationship to who Paul is. There's been many years that have passed, and Timothy's not as young as he used to be. However, it's easy to be discouraged when you see the kind of hardship and difficulty that others have gone through, and how Paul, who is this vessel of honor that Timothy would have easily recognized as being a vessel of honor, had been mistreated as being a common, ordinary, and dishonored individual. But Paul has to remind Timothy that, Timothy, you are an honored vessel. You are a vessel of nobility. You belong to the Master and for His use, so do not lose heart. Is, I believe, what 2 Timothy is all about. And if you remember, Paul does tell Timothy about the importance of the doctrine. If you go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1, I want to notice several verses. 'Cause as we're going to be talking about being vessels of nobility, what I want us to keep in mind is that some people just are never satisfied with truth. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and starting at verse 3. Paul says, I urge you when I went to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes, rather than godly edification which is in faith. Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart and from a good conscience and from sincere faith, from which some have strayed, having turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. In verses 18 through 20 of that same chapter, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecy previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. He continues the same message at the conclusion, or near the conclusion of the letter in chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, where the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Among the things they will teach are forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from foods and things such as that. And in chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of great gain. From such withdraw yourselves. Over and over again in this first letter, Paul reminds Timothy that some people are never going to be satisfied with just the truth. That the truth is going to be perverted, it's going to be changed, it's going to be doubted, and it's going to cause some to be have their faith shipwrecked. That some people are going to be destroyed because there are those who are not satisfied with being the vessel that God has created us to be. If we're going to be vessels for nobility, vessels of nobility, vessels of honor, we must remember what Paul tells Timothy in this second letter. Because he had already told him to stand strong and stand firm behind this doctrine. Because there's going to be a lot of people, and he starts naming who they are, who are going to lead others astray because they're not satisfied with that. So when we get into 2 Timothy chapter 2, let's notice some of the verbiage that he uses. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, and looking back, one of the things that Paul says that is required of somebody who is going to be a vessel of honor is that first and foremost, they are a person who has been cleansed. And if you look back in this letter, just a few verses, to verses 14 and following, notice some of the things that are said. This kind of cleansing is a deliberate thing. They have cleansed themselves from these things. What are some of the things? Back at verse 14. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent, rather, he says, to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so at verse 14, he says that there are words that can ruin the hearers, and we must be careful about those things. Verse 16, he says, to shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more and more ungodliness. In verses 17 and 18, he says that this message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort. They have strayed concerning the truth, saying the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. So what it seems is happening is this, is that you have the truth about Jesus Christ, you have the truth about His resurrection, you have the truth that these brethren at one time knew, and they started this idle babbling, this talking about things that was not profitable, that meant nothing. It was just babbling. But that babbling continued and continued and continued until someone said, maybe they've got a point. And at some point, it overthrew the faith of some, or caused some to have their faith shipwrecked, because this message spreads like cancer. That at one time, it was just a small dot. Didn't really mean a lot. Didn't really think a lot about it. But then it started to grow. Well, it's not too bad right now. And then over time, it gets out of hand and ends up killing the person. That's what Paul warns about. So when he's telling you to cleanse yourself from the former, these are some of those things you cleanse yourself from. Is the idle babbling that sometimes is associated with false teaching. You also have in verse 22, where Paul tells Timothy to flee also youthful lusts. He tells him also in verse 23 to avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. He tells him verses 24 through 26 to not quarrel, to not be impatient, to be things like being humble to those who are in opposition. And also that they may escape, provide those things that the person may escape from the snares of the devil. Over and over again, the Scriptures tell us that we are to be deliberately cleansed from things. Receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. James 1 and verse 21. That is a deliberate action. But to do that, it says that we have to remove from ourselves wickedness and overflow of the evil things that go along with it. That we remove those things from our lives. It's only when those things are removed that we can receive the Word as we're supposed to. 1 Peter chapter 2, this is what Peter says. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Peter says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes to desire the sincere milk of the Word, or pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11, that chapter and the verses that talk to us about adding to our faith all these wonderful virtues. At the end of that, in verse 9, it says that those who lack these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Over and over again, the Scriptures remind us that if we're going to be a vessel of nobility, we have to be cleansed from those other things. We cannot serve the King, his meal, on a dirty dish. We cannot serve our God if we have not cleansed ourselves from sins. And specifically, what Paul is telling Timothy is that you must be careful. That all these different things that have been happening with Hymenaeus and Alexander and Philetus, don't be like them. This idle babbling, this foolish disputing, these youthful lusts that's going on, stop it. And as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Timothy, these people's mouths need to be stopped. Paul tells Titus that the elders, and part of their job, is that they are to convict the gainsayer, and that there are certain people whose mouths need to be stopped. And the reason being is because it can overwhelm those who are trying to hold to the pure, unadulterated doctrine of Jesus Christ. That is a charge that is very, very weighty. And it's one that I know that Charlie and I take very seriously. That someone who wants to teach a different doctrine than the doctrine of Jesus Christ is a mouth that needs to be stopped. And it is something that we as Christians are supposed to be upholding. Because idle babbling leads to a lot of people having the same type of confusion that you see here that Paul is talking about. And at some point, somebody's faith's going to be overthrown by it. And that's why it has to stop. If we're going to be vessels of nobility, we have to cleanse ourselves from that. We have been given assurance by Jesus Christ that God knows those who are His. Look in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And the reason being is because, brethren, we have been set apart. Not only does it say that we are to cleanse ourselves from the latter, to be a vessel of honor, but we are sanctified, we are set apart. And that's what Romans chapter 6 is really all about, is that it was not enough for you just to stop sinning, but that you were raised from that watery grave to walk in newness of life. Your purpose has changed. Whoever you present your members to obey, that's the one slave you are. And so we are to dedicate ourselves to those things of God with our members, with our vessel that we are using. Because when we were in sin, we were free from righteousness. We had no tie to it because we were slaves of unrighteousness. But now that we have died to sin, we are slaves of righteousness. And that's where our vessels are to be used for. We've been set apart for that. And so it's not like those ordinary vessels that we have in our home that we use each and every day, but it's like those fine pieces of china or fine pieces of those vessels that we use when we have an honored guest in our home. And so this vessel that we're talking about is not one that's only used on Sunday when we show up at a worship service, but it's who we are each and every day. We've been set apart not just for our worship, we've been set apart for our life. That's why we cleanse ourselves from all of this evil, that we might be set apart by God for a specific purpose. He continues in 2 Timothy chapter 2 to say that this is the thing that makes us useful for the Master. I love Ephesians 4, and it's one of my favorite passages when we think about the Lord's body. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 14 through 16. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Again, you see that same theme in Paul's writing. To no longer be like children who cannot be steady and be steadfast, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. We know in Matthew 25 it talks about the parable of the talents and how these three servants were each given these talents that were different from one another. But none were held accountable for what the others did. They were held accountable for themselves. And whatever it was that vessel was able to use, that's what the master expected. And so in Ephesians chapter 4, you see this same thing, that every one of us within this body have a usefulness, something that we can do, something that we provide, something that we contribute to the members of this body. Every one of us. And that is the thing that the Bible says provides for the growth of the body, is when every part does its share. And so think of it this way. that when you have a meal, let's say you're having a meal for the king, and you're using these vessels of nobility, these gold cups. Well, the cup is not the same as the gold plate, but both of them are necessary for the meal to make it complete. It's not the same as the fork or the knife or the spoon that is used. However, all of those things are useful and needed to make the meal complete. So all of us are vessels of honor or vessels of nobility, useful for the master, but we have different purposes. And that's fine, that's great, because each one of us contributes what is needed to make it complete. And that's what the body of Christ is all about. And so again, Paul tells Timothy that if we do these things, we become useful for the master. In Matthew 6 and verse 33, it tells us that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And that if we do that, all these things will be added to us. And so we're not to worry and be discouraged by things. So again, the idea of being useful is one that is intentional. So how are you doing? That's the question that kept coming to my mind as I was studying through this week. So how are you doing in that? How dedicated and how much is the idea of seeking first in the forefront of my mind? Because if it's not, I can't say that I'm a vessel for nobility so much as I am a vessel for my workplace or for recreation or for whatever else may be going on in my life. A vessel of nobility means that that comes first, that that's what I'm dedicated for and that's what I'm most useful for. So go back to 2 Timothy and notice some of the things that Paul tells Timothy that makes him useful for the Lord's service. 2 Timothy chapter 2, notice in verse 15, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, who worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." One of the things that makes you useful for the master is that you show diligence, first and foremost, seeking the kingdom of God, you show all diligence, you make it your priority to be able to rightly divide the word of God. That's one of the things that makes you fit for the master's use, a vessel of honor. Be able to rightly divide it. That means that some cannot and do not rightly divide it. But Paul tells Timothy, if you want to not be ashamed, if you want to be a worker for the Lord, be able to rightly divide the word. Later, you see some of the importance of this when he says in verse 24, that a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. That is not always easy to do. However, that is what God expects of us, that whenever we do have idle babblings, whenever we do have differences when it comes to dividing the Word of God, that we show patience and understanding and humility in correcting one another. Not like Hymenaeus and Philetus, not like Alexander, not like others throughout the history of the Lord's body who have overthrown the faith of some by not showing these things. If I'm going to be fit for the master's use, that is the motives and that is the tactics that have to be employed. Again, Paul tells Timothy how it is to make himself a vessel of honor by telling him that these are the ones that have been prepared. Prepared has the idea of being equipped. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Paul says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." That means that you are available when the master needs you. That was another one that really stuck out to me. Available when the master needs you. You've been prepared. That's the question to ask yourself. Am I available when the master needs me? Or are there too many other things going on in my life? A vessel of honor, a vessel of nobility, is one that's been set apart and is useful for the master's use when the master needs it. It doesn't have to be then cleansed. The master needs something. Well, let me go find something and cleanse it and set it apart and make it ready for him. No. It's been set apart for the master's use when the master needs it. That's why we're given the scriptures, is so that we can study and learn these things and be equipped for every good work. Not so that when a good work comes to us, then we equip ourselves. No, you equip yourselves for every good work before they are needed. That's the purpose of the scriptures. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this is what Paul talked about when he talked about the ministry that he was given to and the means by which it was given to him. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 through 11. Paul recognized that he was the least of the apostles, who was not worthy to be called one of the apostles because he persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, he says, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. And so one of the things that helps us to be prepared in advance is this: knowing that the scriptures have taught me the way of righteousness, and I was undeserving of that, and because of the grace of God, I am what I am. I am no more than an earthen vessel. I was clay in a potter's hand. But the potter who made me was the King, was the God of heaven. And he didn't prepare me for the ordinary uses that you have out here in the world that everybody else is using their vessel for. He made me a vessel for himself. And by the grace of God, I am what I am. And so when we begin to think about what it means to be vessels of honor and to think upon those things that are noble, think about the reason that you were created and the reason that God saved you and what it was that God did in order to shape and form you for His use. And that's what it means to be a vessel of honor. And so that's the question I'm going to leave with you this morning, is are you an honorable vessel? I pray to God that as we look to His Word and we look to the example of others, that we see ourselves as being what God would have us to be, and that we are not only equipped to do the work of God, but that we're available to do the work of God, that other things don't get in the way because we know what we've been set aside for. And so if you're subject to the invitation this morning, either because you haven't obeyed the gospel yet, you're not a child of God, or because maybe you haven't been using yourself as a vessel of nobility, but rather one of dishonor, that this is a chance to change. Let us help you if we can. As together we stand and sing, won't you please come?